Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Paranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Text number 65. Parishman etat adhyatmam. Parishman etat adhyatmam. Parishman etat adhyatmam. Parokshena padarshitam. Parokshena pradarshitam. Parokshena pradarshitam. Yat paroksha priyo devo. Yat paroksha priyo devo. Yat paroksha priyo devo. Bhagavan Vishva Bhavana. Bhagavan Vishva Bhavana. Bhagavan Vishva Bhavana. Parishmane tadat yatman. Parokshena pradarshitam. Yat paroksha priyo devo. Bhagavan Vishva Bhavana.
O King Pratinabarhi,
etat, this, adhyatmam,
narration of self-realization,
parokshena, indirectly, pradarshitam,
instructed,
yat,
because,
parokshapriya,
interesting by indirect description.
Deva,
the Supreme Lord.
Bhagavan,
the Personality of Godhead.
Vishvabhavana,
the cause of all causes.
Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Pratinabarhi, the Supreme Person of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus, I have described the story of Paranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. Responsibly, please. My dear King Pratinabarhi,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the cause of all causes,
is celebrated to be known indirectly.
Thus I have described
the story of Paranjana to you.
Actually, it is
an instruction for self-realization.
Purport. There are many similar stories in the Puranas for self-realization. As stated in the Vedas, paroksha priya eva he deva. There are many stories in the Puranas that are intended to interest ordinary men in transcendental subjects. But actually, these refer to real facts. They are not to be considered stories without a transcendental purpose. Some of them refer to real historical facts. One should be interested, however, in the real purport of this story. Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Factually, the path of bhakti yoga is the path of hearing directly about the pastimes of the Supreme Person of Godhead, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. But those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, or who cannot understand them, can very effectively hear such stories and fables as this one narrated by Narada Muni. The following is a glossary of some of the important words in this chapter. I think this is the only place that Srila Prabhupada does this, so it's unique. So I'll go through the different words that are prominent in this chapter. It's quite long, actually. We'll see if we have time. We'll do that later. Om Aganatramandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Taksun Milita Nena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeyam Sri Guru Sita Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagaratam Sahagana Ragnatang Vitang Tang Tajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivasakan Vitangscha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bangam Langayate Garam Yap Kripa Tamaham Vande Sigarundi Nataranam. So this is the end of the fable. and stated in the purport that there are many stories in the Puranas that are intended to interest ordinary men in transcendental knowledge. But they're not to be considered useless fairy tales, because they refer and give instructions in spiritual knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Mami Parta Vipastritya, Yepi Su Papayonaya, Striyo Vaishas Tatasudras, Tepi Yanti Paramgatim. Those who are of lower birth, vices, women, and sudras, can approach the supreme destination if they surrender to me. So regardless of one's particular capacity, according to, you know, whatever capacities he has as a living entity, if one utilizes these abilities in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can attain perfection. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Swese abhirata sangsatim labhate nara, that regardless of what qualities one has achieved, if he utilizes them in the service of Krishna, then he can approach the supreme destination. So it doesn't really make any difference of your position in society, your abilities as a human being. If you have abilities of a Shudra, if you have abilities of a Vaishya, if you have abilities of a Kshatriya, if you have abilities of a Brahmana, if you get the inspiration to utilize these abilities that have been you have obtained due to your past activities in the service of Krishna, then you can attain perfection. Love of Krishna. So this is very important, because if one factually understands it, then he will give up this endeavor for name, fame, prestige in this world, because these things are factually useless. And an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery that are due to contact with the material senses, because such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. So this doesn't just refer to the gross pleasures one gets in relationship to his eyes, nose, tongue, belly, genitals, all these things. But also, the mind is considered one of the senses also. It's the chief of the senses, but a sense nonetheless. And the pleasure one gets in relationship to the mind is of a much more subtle nature. And the mind is always hankering to be Krishna, to be in charge, to be the controller, to be the enjoyer. So this can be mitigated by being satisfied with what you have, and simply utilizing whatever gifts you have been given in this life in service to Krishna, and don't worry about if you have a position or not. There's a saying, upwardly mobile, which in the material world, especially in the corporate sector, people are very much interested in going up. Corporate climbing is another word for this. And this tendency If one wants to make progress in spiritual life, it's very favorable if it is avoided. If one has a particular characteristic of a kshatriya, and he's very competent and can inspire others in practical matters in government and so on, then it's not that he should aspire, but if the general populace pushes him up to this position, then he'll take it. He should accept it in a humble way. Okay, somehow or other I have these characteristics. Let me use them in the service of Krishna, and let me have some position of authority in this society of devotees in a very humble way, in an attitude of service to others. So here we are hearing about this King Prachinabharhi. Now, he is not an ordinary living entity. It's been going on for some time, quite a few chapters, this narration. Narada Muni has a very prominent position in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is described many chapters back that this King Barishat, who was later called Prachinabharhi, is a descendant of who? Who remembers? Who's been here for a few months? Does anyone know who he? Yes. He's in that line. Yes, that's true. It's Prithu Maharaj. That's correct. Very good. I was thinking of Prithu Maharaj, but it's also the correct answer is Priyavrata. So he has a very exalted lineage. But this story of his life goes to show that you may have a very exalted lineage, but you may go off track. This is not out of the ordinary. It is actually a tendency in the material world to kind of veer off track. Another example in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Bharat Maharaj. He went off track. So what keeps one in line? Specifically, the association of devotees is so important, and the association of a bona fide spiritual master. These two things, they keep one in line. So regardless of one's position in the social structure and in the association of devotees also, it's very advantageous to maintain a balance of association. A lot of association with one's peers, some association of those who are new to spiritual life, and you get enlivened and realizations by instructing them, but don't forget to always, it is very advantageous to maintain the association of those who are more advanced than you in spiritual life and that you humbly approach for direction. So this keeps one on track in spiritual life. And we see in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam so many examples of those that didn't have this balance in their life and what happens. Just like Bharat Maharaj. He didn't have association of devotees. He was alone in the forest. And he also didn't have the association of a spiritual master. So therefore, even though on a very, very high platform of spiritual life, he had some difficulty. So this is an example I've heard in remembrances of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, is that he always, especially towards the end of his life, would consult his godbrothers about if he was some important decision he was contemplating of doing. So that is a very healthy attitude, to not just rely on our own minds. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bandharatmatmanastesya yenatmaivatmanajitaha anatmanastushatrutve varte tetatmarashatrubat. For one who has conquered the mind, the mind is the best friend. To such a man, but for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. So the next sloka describes, how do we know if the mind is our friend? Jitatmana pasantasya paramatma samahita sitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamanayo. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is reached. To such a man, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, they are all the same. So therefore, what is it? How do you know that your mind is your friend? You're in touch with Krishna in your heart. And you can take dictation from Krishna. And the mind is accepting that dictation. It's not rejecting it. Then your mind is your friend. But if you're not in touch with the super soul, be careful about the mind. The mind is a very tricky, it's actually a machine. It's designed in such a way that it can trick you. And you will be thinking that this is for my well-being, but it can be quite the opposite, especially when it directs one towards thinking that the goal of life is sense gratification. And King Pratinabarhi, his mind was his enemy. From the beginning of this narration until now. And because he was in this situation of being a fallen conditioned soul, Narada Muni, he took the tactic of, he made up a fable, a story about a fictitious character, this Paranjana, and told this story to King Pratinabarhi for his benefit. But actually, this Paranjana is him. But he didn't tell that to him. He was using some diplomacy in Krishna's service because he's very, very intelligent, and he knew that he could not take like the direct preaching of, like, this is total nonsense, this sacrifices for elevation to heavenly planets, it's useless, it's less for less intelligent man. What are you doing? Give it up and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He understood that there was a very thick layer of false ego in this king. And he was thinking that he was doing he was acting properly, and he was progressing in his life in the proper way. So he told him a story, a very, very long story about this Paranjana, and if we recap the story a little bit, then we can. He gradually wore down the misconceptions of this Barishat, this King Barishat, and in a very tactful, methodical, and intelligent way. So he, this Barishat, he was a very expert in performing these fruitive sacrifices, and also the practice of mystic yoga. And
he married a very, very beautiful girl. And in American slang, you would say drop-dead gorgeous. Similarly, Rukmini was this, had this characteristic. Her body was very, very, very beautiful. Okay? So, while circumambulating the fire at their marriage, Agni desired her. Just imagine, a woman's getting married, is so beautiful, and the fire god, present in the fire of the sacrifice, she's so beautiful that he desired her. And also, you know, sages and Gandharvas and, you know, denizens of Siddhaloka, had the inhabitants of the earth and the demons, they had the similar feelings within their hearts. So, needless to say, he got married and he had some children, quite naturally. And her name was Shatrujuti. Ten sons. And they're the Prachetas. And there's no narration of their growing up. It's described when they had reached maturity, they were ordered by their father to marry and beget children. So before they were going to get married and beget children by the order of their father, they entered the ocean to practice austerities and penances for 10,000 years. So they first of all entered the ocean, but then, for some reason or other, it's not mentioned, they left the ocean and instead looked for some other place. And they went and they found this great reservoir of water in a very secluded place, a huge reservoir of water, full of lotus flowers and beautiful birds like swans and cranes. Specifically water birds in the mode of goodness. And there, coming out of that water, was Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva saw these 10 sons of Vrindavarihi and gave them instructions in spiritual life. Now, their intention originally was to go and to perform austerities and penances and everything so that they would, you know, have some material potencies to be progenitors and produce nice children and so on. But then meeting a pure devotee changes your directions in life. And Lord Shiva, a few chapters previously, the song sung by Lord Shiva, he taught this song to them. And they meditated on this prayer while standing in the water for 10,000 years. And while they were doing this, this is when Narada Muni approached their father. So here Lord Shiva changes the direction in life for the Prachetas, and Narada Muni comes and changes the direction of life for their father, Vrindavarihi. So first of all, Narada Muni, he engaged in some scare tactics. He told him that this overindulgence in animal killing, although you are doing it in sacrifices, will be very detrimental for you. Actually, you will get karma for this. And that after your death, that these animals, they will torture you. They will appear and torture you. So then, after giving this scare tactic to King he started narrating the story of Paranjana,
And how Paranjana, first of all, was looking throughout the world for the perfect place to live. It's an English term is Shangri-La. You know, we're always working, looking and looking, searching and searching. Where, especially when you're young, and you're at age to leave your parents, so to speak, because in this day and age, without Gurukula training, you're sick of your parents by the time you're 18, 20 years old, and you want to run away from them. That is the nature of a teenager. That's why in Vedic culture, the teenagers are not with their parents. They're in the Gurukula. And then, if they get proper training, they run back to their parents and take care of them. But if you don't get this training, you run away from your parents. And the natural tendency, okay, I'm young, I'm strong, I'm handsome, or I'm young, I'm beautiful, I'm attractive, let me go out into the world and search out a beautiful place to live and a beautiful partner from which I can enjoy in this world. But he couldn't find such a nice place. And he got frustrated, and after a long search, and finally came upon a city in India. That's the story. It's a fable, but he said it was in India. And it's 9 gates. So this is the material body. So we all are living in the city of 9 gates. And but in this gate, it was like a heavenly body. It was a very opulent city, full of beautiful parks and houses with domes made of gold, silver, and iron, and abundant wildlife was there. And there's tigers, but they weren't carnivorous. Obviously a fable. And deer and so many animals. And this Paranjana comes upon a beautiful woman. And he gets enamored. He flatters her. He profuse narration about how beautiful she is. It's described, if you want to control a woman, you flatter her. So then, he seduced her with very expert flattery. And then this woman glorified him, glorified actually the path of Pravritti Marg. There's Nivritti Marg and there's Pravritti Marg. So the path of Pravritti Marg is the path of sense enjoyment, and this path of Nivritti Marg is negation of sensual pleasure, and you engage in spiritual life instead and for the benefit of the soul. And she glorified Pravritti Marg and she derided Nivritti Marg. So this was very pleasing. He found the right person because he was also thinking in this way, materialistic life. And they united and enjoyed in this city of 9 gates. So there's this sloka in the Bhagavad Gita, Prajahati Yada Kaman. Sarvan Partamanova Katan, Atmani Vatmanatusta, Stita Pragyastadosate. When a man gives up all varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So this story is depicting this character, Paranjana, to be a very contaminated fellow, so to speak. And this sense enjoyment is actually a mental concoction. You're thinking that this sensual pleasure is going to make you happy. So they united and, you know, they're living. And one day he goes out hunting and killing animals. And so he left his wife. You don't, a man, when he goes hunting, he doesn't take his wife with him. This is a man thing. You have to go and kill animals. That's like a male thing. And Pranjana's wife became very angry. And he neglected his wife. And so therefore she became quite upset with him. And went on some, she like went into the chamber of wrath, so to speak. So Pranjana comes back, he flatters her, and she forgives him. They have sex. It's the same old story, this Bhoga Tyag. And when one is enjoying in this way in the material world in relationship to the material senses, time passes very quickly. Before you know it, you are a young man, handsome, strong, and you have attracted a very, very beautiful woman. And then you are enjoying in relationship with her. Time passes very quickly. So the next thing he knows, he's getting old. And he has many sons and daughters, and they have grown up and gotten married, and he has gotten many grandchildren. And it's in the story, these grandchildren and children, they are compared to thieves and rogues. Because here a man works so hard, and he's enjoyed his sex, but now he has to pay for it. He has children. Because he has to work so hard to maintain his children. And the more children you have, the harder you have to work. If you're just alone, you can just somehow or other, you can cultivate spiritual knowledge and give spiritual knowledge to others, and then people will automatically take care of you. They'll be very much appreciative. This is a sannyasi. Okay? But if you are a grihastha, and you have some material attachments and some material desires, and you have many children, you got to work very, you enjoy some, but then you have to suffer. And so then you have to, work hard to feed, clothe, educate, entertain, not only wife, not only you, but many, many children also. And it's a great endeavor. It can distract one from spiritual life, and it usually does. So that is why it is if one can avoid it, the getting married, it is highly recommended. But if one can't, one should enter into marriage life very cautiously, with some training as a brahmachari beforehand, and bring this training of brahmachari into grihastha life, and hold back. Don't go head over heels into enjoying the senses and get burned like a fool. So, because time was passing, the days and nights passing very quickly, they were compared to very powerful soldiers, and taking away the lifespan. You very powerful soldiers that you cannot fight against them. The lifespan is decreasing and decreasing. And the more one enjoys in youth, specifically in relationships to sex, the more one suffers in old age. So what happened to Paranjana? He became increasingly old very quickly because he is on the path of sense enjoyment. Time is passing very quickly. And he became invalid. And when a man becomes invalid, although he has very, very faithfully maintained, protected, educated, clothed, his children, he becomes a burden. And they become indifferent to him, and they have other aspirations in life. He's an impediment in their sense gratification, actually. Very selfish, this material world. When one is on the path of sense enjoyment, it creates a very cold-hearted, selfish type person. So much so that although your father has maintained and given you all facilities in life, when he becomes old, you become indifferent to him. So he lost his beauty, his intelligence, all his opulences, but still he had his desires. This is the result of not following spiritual life. You get old, your facilities for sense enjoyment leave you, but your desire for sense enjoyment stays. So there, what happens is he gradually dies in due course of time. Very painful death, so much attachment. And it's not so much in this story that he, at the time of death, he was thinking of his wife in a way to enjoy her sexually. But he was thinking more in a way of how will she take care of the children? What's going to happen to my children? Who's going to maintain them? He was thinking of his wife and children. What's going to happen to them? I've been providing for them, and I'm very worried about them. So it's not only the sex desire that is, we have to be concerned about, but this entanglement in family, and you become like the leader, and then you have to go, and who's going to be the leader in my place? They're not qualified. It's only me who's qualified. How are they going to go on in this world? So thinking of his wife and family, and that's why he becomes a woman in his next life. And the story goes on that even though one is such a loser that, he has wasted his life so badly, he becomes a woman, a princess, and a king, king's daughter, and then his daughter, the princess, gets married to a very devotionally inclined prince and a devotee of Lord Krishna. And she goes through her household life, and then at the end of his life, he renounces his family in due course, and they go off to the forest together. And he leaves this world in the forest with his wife, and she laments very severely because her husband's now dead. But then she builds a fire, puts the body of her husband on that fire, and then puts herself on that fire also. And end of story. So this, there's some advantages here. Although this king in this story is with his wife when he leaves his body, he's lost all attraction for sex. And he doesn't have to worry about his family. He's already renounced his family. He's no longer with his family. They're out on their own. He's trained them up properly, and they're on their own 2 feet. And his wife, he's not going to worry about her, because as soon as he dies, she's going to die too. So no worries. This is one of the advantages of this culture. And you can't just jump in a fire. It takes a very advanced, some free from the bodily concept of life, free from the because fire is very hot. How can you just jump on a fire? But this was very common for those living entities in the past ages that very, very seriously practice spiritual life. So similarly, if we practice spiritual life, we can undergo the difficulties and the pains. It will not affect us so much. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he was on his deathbed, it is described by the doctors, he was so thin, his nerve endings were exposed, that it was the most painful thing anyone could experience in this world, to be in such a condition where all the nerve endings are exposed. You're so thin, you have no muscle over them, cushioning them, so to speak, because by nature these bodies are full of pain. But he was able, in full, with full concentration and full memory, full intelligence, was capable of continuing his translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is an example of, and we can practically apply his example in our lives. And then as we progress through life, we can also be not so bothered, but we can look forward to old age. We can look forward, because it's a difficulty in youth. It's not only that you have attraction for the opposite sex, but what makes it worse is the opposite sex has attraction for you. So that makes a very difficult situation. But when you get old, the opposite sex is not going to be attracted to you. And what a blessing for a devotee. And what a curse for a materialist. Yani sa sarvabhutanam tasam jagati samyamin yasa jagati bhutani sa nisa pasito mune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. Anyway, you get it. Well, there's opposites, aspirations and goals and focus for materialists and spiritualists. So this story of Paranjana gives us inspiration and guidance to take the spiritual path and to avert the material path. So any questions, comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sarva Prabhu ki. Bhagavatam ki.